again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3!
Yeah!
Northampton have
got it!
Hello, we're back. It's All Cobblers to Me. If you're new, I'm Charles, and this is the podcast about Northampton Town, made for and by Cobblers fans. If you want more, head over to our website, cobblerstome.com. And if you enjoy what we do, you can join our community of Cobblers fans in the fan club on Patreon. While it doesn't cost anything to listen to It's All Cobblers to Me, it isn't free to make. And you can support the making of the podcast and our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin by going to patreon.com/cobblerstome and signing up from just £2 a month. This week, Danny Brothers is alone in having to keep me in check. And after Saturday, you've got a task on your hands, mate. How are you, Danny?
I'm good. Yeah, I don't like coming alone. Is another big bowl on or something?
No big bowls. That there are some small adults.
Okay.
Yeah.
Small adults. Small tractors.
and all the tractors have blocked Jeffy in.
Oh, dear. But, Charles, big news, isn't it? Ooh, that next weekend... I like big butts.
You do.
I cannot lie. I might write a song about that. next weekend, we could all be in the same place together for the first time since August, I think.
All five of us could be in the same place together at the same time.
Are you talking about a little friend?
Little friend, yeah. Mm-hmm. Little friend made of glass.
Glass, yeah. Jimmy. Yeah.
Jimmy
Glass. Yes.
Finally, I'm going to get my hands on the FSA Club Podcast of the Year award that we won back in November.
I should do a ceremony on the bank to pass it over to you.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Above the North Stand. We'll get Anglia News down there. East. There you go. That's two pods in a row that look east.
Get John Murray down to present it to you so you don't miss out. Get Marcus Speller in. Sure, we'll come down.
Please.
Just recreate it.
Please.
We'll recreate the moment where dropped my camera and said, oh, shit.
Oh, it's brilliant. Absolutely. Have we released that video? I don't know if we've put
it
on Twitter or anything.
I think it was on Twitter. I think we released on Twitter at some point. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll show it again or share it again at the Bayos, maybe.
Oh, yes. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? I was thinking about the Bayos because obviously I know it's only, March, as you're listening to this. It's the penultimate day of February as we record, isn't it? Obviously. But, not too far away from the end of the season. I think, 13 games to go?
Yeah.
And that means the Bayos are just around the corner.
That's the important thing.
It is the important thing. That's our annual awards ceremony that we record in front of a live. It's not a live audience at all. We fake it, but it's
brilliant. It was last year. Oh, Charles, come on. Everyone thought we were really at the lift tower last year.
Well, socially distanced from the lift tower at all times. I think you'll find that we were.
I believe if everything goes to plan, we might be outside the East Stand this year.
Oh, really?
But, yeah.
Won't it be a bit noisy with all that construction work going on?
Oh, no, they'll stop that for the night. I don't want to say they'll down tools for the night because that's bringing up the past, but we'll position ourselves on half of the athletics track.
Okay.
That's what we'll do.
Can I ask which half, or is that going too far?
I've got no idea.
let's talk about something we do know a little bit about, and that was Saturday's game at Rochdale. It ended 1-0 to Rochdale. I ended very annoyed.
Yeah, you were there, weren't you?
Yes, I was there.
This must be a regular haunt for you, Rochdale, is it?
Fairly regular, yeah. I mean, it's literally 40-minute drive away.
Yeah.
Nice little journey there. Got there in plenty of time. We were able to go into the clubhouse before the game.
We know what all the listeners are asking and thinking.
What's that?
Did you go to the chip shop?
I did not go to the chip shop.
Oh, come on, Charles.
Sorry.
Come on. Crying out loud.
I did How? Park next to the chip shop.
Well, even more so. You should have gone in there. Just get a portion of chips. Come on, Charles. When might we have this chance again? If we go up, hurts.
Well, I'll be honest, on Saturday's performance. Next season, we'll have the chance again.
Might never see him again. You'll regret it.
I missed
opportunity of the year in the Bayos, that'll be.
Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah. Charles missing out on his fish and chips.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, we went straight to the clubhouse.
Is it a away fans welcome clubhouse, or did you have to zip up your...
No, it's an away fans welcome clubhouse. I will say incredibly friendly.
Mm.
There was, you know, they've got a security person on the door who was the most jovial person I have met doing that job ever. Normally you're a bit scared of doormen, aren't you?
Yeah, you say that though. Carlsbad doormen are great. I love Carlsbad. They always give a nice welcome there.
That's true. I think no offense to them, but I think I just kind of don't really. I don't know. I don't really consider. There's never any need for them, I don't think, at Carlsbad. It's clearly just a case of it's a stipulation of the license.
Yes.
That is purely all they're there. You know, they're never needed. They're lovely, lovely guys.
Yes.
But yeah, this chap, I mean, he was quite big. He was quite a tall fellow, but he was incredibly happy, incredibly friendly. It was lovely to be welcomed in such a way. And yeah, it was really nice. It was a nice atmosphere in there. It was quite spacious. Nice. I did think, it's a little bit quiet when we first got in there. Bear in mind, we sort of walked in at maybe about 2:10, so quite a while before kickoff.
Is this only away fans that are allowed in there?
No, home fans in there,
okay,
as well.
Okay, nice, nice,
yeah,
like that.
It was nicely mingled.
Yeah, a bit of bants.
Yeah, a little bit of bants was going on. It was good. It was very nice.
Songs?
There were no songs. No, there was Blackburn versus QPR was on the telly, and most people seemed absorbed in that.
When that's on the telly, Charles, you just, exactly. You know.
I know. What else would you be doing but staring at the screen? but yeah, no, it was really good. And it's not often that you go to an away game and you can then go into the bar that is actually attached to the football club.
Mm.
Port Vale, you can do it there.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can do it at Sixfields at Cars Bar if you're an away fan, depending on how many we're expecting and which club you're you know, coming from.
I think Cheltenham, you used to be able to do it as well.
I've never been to Cheltenham. Fleetwood, you can do it. But they've got an absolutely massive bar. I think that's off the top of my head. That's the only ones that I can remember.
There was one. It was Kidderminster, I think, that was quite
okay.
Good on, but I'm just naming teams that aren't in our league, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly. You're naming teams that we're not likely to be playing for the foreseeable. I hope.
Okay, and we say that.
Yeah. but no, it was nice. Saw a few Cobblers fans in there. Had a nice chat with a few of them. Yeah, it was good. It was really nice. Met up with one of our Patreon fan club members, Rich.
Okay, nice.
Had a nice drink. In fact, I spent the whole game with Rich. It was enjoyable. Shout out also to Paul, Auntie Paul, as he's known forevermore, just because of social media, his forum name. And yeah, it was a good afternoon, apart from the football.
Yeah. It's good to make a day of it or away game as well, isn't it?
Yeah. It was good.
Always nice.
But obviously I had the pleasure of witnessing it, not only live, but firsthand, Danny. I understand you've watched the game back.
Yes,
because obviously, you know, you do that because you are committed.
Committed,
not only
yeah.
to the Cobblers, but to this podcast.
Exactly that, yeah. And because I'm an absolute savage who likes to put myself through pain. But yeah, I had a little watch this morning, watch back.
And what did you make of it?
It's difficult, I think, again, because we weren't terrible in the terrible sense.
Like, are you sure?
Like we have been before. Like, we're never really dreadful, are we? We never really
have
anything
like
all over the place. It probably felt like it there, but I think we just get to a point in midfield where we just don't seem to have a plan. And I think I've said this before, like there's no attacking intent or patterns to it that we get going. It's more like we get there and then we hope someone's going to do something. You're hoping it's going to pull something out, or Epi is going to do something, or Hoskins is going to pull something out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it feels like, right, we're really focused. We're really good at defending. We're great at this. We've got that solid base, but when we get up front, we just seem to lose it a lot of the time. And it just seems to be such a missed opportunity to be able to get something going. And a lot of it's probably down to just the fact that we haven't got a plan as such. It's more been, we've all been forced into this formation because of Etete leaving.
Mm.
We've been forced into almost playing two up front because we've now got McGlaw coming in who's great, and we've been able to make the defence even tighter. So we've come into January, lost Etete, and now we've been forced to, we're making ourselves play two up front. We're making Pinnock kind of sit in a different position to what he was before. And there's just, I don't think there has been yet two players who have played together more than once.
No,
in those
not
two forward positions.
Definitely not.
And that can't help. Like, you've got Epier and Hoskins, I think, were playing a little bit on Saturday. It turns into Epier and Ashley Seal, turns into Ashley Seal and Apare, who comes on, mm-hmm. turns into Labala. And it just seems to be a bit of a mesh of players just being thrown in and hoping for the best. And that can't help, I don't think. We've never really had a consistent front two. And you need, like, you need good strikers, but you also need a good understanding between them. It just feels like we haven't had that for whatever reason, injury, suspensions, or people getting up to fitness. And I just worry a little bit that we're not going to get there, when we're just going to end up throwing whoever is there, whoever's available up front, and it just doesn't work out a lot of the time.
I think Jake Sharp summed it up for me in the post-match on Radio Northampton, where he said that it feels like there aren't any patterns,
yeah.
you know, that are being yeah. necessarily that have been worked on the training ground that are then coming through into the match mm-hmm. for our attacking play. And he said it all feels a bit improvised.
Yeah.
And I think, because you said that, you know, and I think I said these words as well, in fairness, on Saturday after the match, which is that it's like there's no attacking intent. And I don't actually think that's fair, because they are trying to attack. It's just that they don't really know how to do it effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels very much as though what's essentially the big thing that's really missing is a creative player, somebody that can just do something in the midfield area to really set us on our way. Because you kind of watch other teams play, and you could, Rochdale, for example, you could kind of see exactly what it was that they were doing. Every time they went forward, it was the same thing. They basically would target our left-hand side, so Koike, essentially, and they would basically try and get the ball, not necessarily to cross in, but to, you know, the wingers would seem to cut back onto their inside foot a lot. And that's what essentially the game plan was for Rochdale. That's how they were attacking. And with us, it was just, right, we'll try kicking it long. We'll try getting it out wide. We'll try this. We'll try that. There was nothing there that actually said, this is how we play as Northampton Town. This is how we attack, and this is how we score goals. It is a simple case of it. What it looks like an awful lot of the time is that we're just trying to win free kicks. Or, and I say trying to, I don't mean that we're looking for fouls necessarily, but it's essentially a case of we go down very easily, and quite often the referee won't give us the free kick. And then we're on our heels again and we're chasing back. And so it constantly breaks up the momentum of our play. And when we don't get the free kick, even if we still have the ball in our possession, it feels like we still don't really know what to do.
Yeah, no, it's exactly that. We don't seem to have anything that like to aim for. It's get it up there and hope that someone will get hold of it and do something with it. And I was quite excited when Epi was starting. Is it his second start maybe? But because I thought he's the type of player who you can get the ball to and he'll just produce something. But he just seemed a little bit unsure of where to go, where to run. And that's exactly what we're talking about, I think, is that there is no sort of purpose to the attack other than to get it there and try and do something. And then, try and improvise, try and do something once we're there, which sometimes works against the weaker teams, but against the Rochdale team on that kind of pitch, and you know, the pitch is not an excuse because we should be able to cope with it. But it's just like against that, in that kind of game, we're just not going to be able to get it right because they're going to be onto us. And as soon as they get sniff, it just feels like we've not got any more plans to do it, to get forward. And that's the only thing missing from us. And we've somehow got to second in the table. We got to second with a 0-0 draw against the bottom team on Tuesday night. Mm. We're somehow still there. We've got away with it a little bit, I think, at the weekend. So that's a positive. But it doesn't give you a lot of hope in terms of watching us in the coming, in the next few games. It's just right on a knife edge, and we're playing every game like on a 1-0 knife edge. And I think as soon as we went behind on Saturday, I thought I couldn't see us getting back into it. I definitely couldn't see us winning it.
No,
I couldn't see us getting back into it. And that's not a good place to be, I don't think, this deep into a season where you're really fighting for promotion.
And I think the fans know that. The fans feel the same as that. You know, there was this thing where Rochdale's goal kind of, it was both coming, but also out of the blue at the same time. Because, you know, it had been all Rochdale from what I'd seen. You know, we were essentially letting Rochdale come at us, and then we were attempting to hit them on the break. I think that was essentially the game plan. Yeah. So it was coming in the sense that Rochdale had been seeing a lot of the ball, had been actually, you know, trying to wear us down an awful lot. But at the same time, they'd not really threatened. And then, I'll be honest, I don't really know what happened. It looked like, from where I was, looking through it, was that the ball is crossed in from a quite shallow angle, and then it just takes a deflection, which takes it away from Roberts.
Yeah, it was Koike on the left that he just didn't do anywhere near enough. I think he was just beaten so easily on that side. It's so frustrating because defensively is just not, it's just not really up to it a lot of the time defensively. And that might be a little bit harsh on him, but and this is a prime example. He just gets beat so easily for someone with his pace. It was just like one little move, and the player's gone past him and crossed it in. Mm. Like you say, it's got a little deflection on the way in. Roberts couldn't do a lot about it. Yeah, we just need to do better. We need him to do better because obviously Jay Mills is ready. Come off the bench, didn't he? Ready to come in.
For me, with Koike, it wasn't just his defensive display that was weak on Saturday. Mm. It was also his on-the-ball attacking play. There was one moment in the first half where he got the ball out on the left, and we were going to have like something like 4-on-2. There was going to be a breakaway, and all he had to do was push the ball down the line to Pinnock. And yet he dawdled on the ball, and when he passed it, the Rochdale player was there to cut it out. And it was so frustrating because you were looking at it and going, that's a simple ball to play forward, and we would have been in for definite. And he couldn't pass, you know, he couldn't complete that pass. And it was just, there was an awful lot of times when I just thought to myself, he's not good enough today. And in the second half, when McGowan was substituted, I was flabbergasted. I mean, Azza didn't look very happy at all.
Oh, he wasn't. No.
He was. I think it was a good job that he had to come off on our side of the pitch and walk all the way round. Mm. Because if he'd have gone straight off, I think he would have been apoplectic with rage. That I think water bottles would have been being kicked and things. He seemed very angry. Now, afterwards, in his post-match interview, he suggested that he wasn't happy with being basically played on the wing rather than being
at the pitch.
Yeah, and you know, saying that that's not where I play, and yet I'm being asked to do that job. But I mean, I was annoyed because I was thinking, okay, I can see what we're doing is we're changing the formation in order to go, well, I mean, to be honest, I think we'd already done this, hadn't we? And that's why Magaza was further up the pitch. But it was that thing of going, right, okay, we're obviously going to a flat back four with Koike on the left, McGlure on the right, and then obviously Horsfall and Guthrie in the middle. But I was going, take Koike off.
Yeah.
Take Koike off for Mills. put, you know, I mean, take him off, I just thought to myself, why are you taking McGowan off? Mm. One of our better players. And yeah. I know he didn't have a very good game, but he's playing out of position. He's still doing fairly well, I thought. Maybe not one of his best games for us, but I mean, the guy still has talent and the guy still has ability.
Mm. And he's got a cross in him as well, hasn't he? He's got that quality just to put in a cross from deep. That
at least he won't hit the first man like Sam does.
Oh.
Sorry, got real beer in my body about Sam not being able to beat the first man on a cross. It winds me up. Anyway, about the fourth week in a row I've mentioned that.
Yeah, it was poor. It was poor. But going back to what you're saying about Koike, but that could go for a lot of players as well, couldn't it? In terms of, it's been a theme the last few weeks of just not passing properly. I don't know what's going on. Right, yeah. And I don't know what's going on with Pinnock either. With his change of position, is just not as effective. Didn't think he was up to much on Saturday.
Well, like you're saying, I hadn't really thought about this until you were saying it earlier, but I do wonder, or I do think that it's the change of formation that we've gone to. It doesn't play to Pinnock's strengths, and yet he's still being picked because of obvious reasons. He's got the best, passer of the ball, the best crosser of the ball that we've got in the team. But he's being shoehorned in, and really we should be looking to build the formation around players like that, not forcing them to play in positions where they're weaker or where they're nullified easier. I think you're right. I think it is a case that we've maybe not replaced the Tete well enough. I think if you look at it, and I'm not suggesting that any of the strikers that we've brought in aren't good players, but they're not a Tete. They're not the same type of player as a Tete is.
Mm. I mean, Apare is probably the closest thing in terms of a hold-up player.
Yeah.
But he still needs someone off him and he still needs to...
I mean, going back to you saying about Epia starting and you were excited about that, when I saw Epia on the team sheet, I actually thought this isn't going to work. And I think myself and Rich were having this conversation at the start. I said, the issue is that Epia, for me, is more of an impact sub.
Mm.
Look at what he did against Scunthorpe when he came on, against a tired defence. Well, he doesn't have, the tiredness factor to rely on. He's quick and he's got good ball control by the looks of it. But up against fresh defenders, they're going to bully him. And they did bully him. Sharp. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of how Atete was right at the earlier start of the season in his first few games in League Two, where essentially the defenders just bullied him. And it took him a while to adjust to this division and to the type of defenders he was going to be coming up against. So I'm hoping that Epia will do the same and he'll kind of get to that point where actually he'll just stop going near the defenders and constantly be moving them around and, coming off them to receive the ball or to then, maybe come back to then make a run forward. Mm. So you get the defence on the flat foot and things like that. But for me, I was a bit, don't get me wrong, I didn't want Danny Rose to be starting either. But I just thought, why not play with two up front and have Benny Ashley Seal with him or Apare with him? I mean, I presume that once Apare is fully fit, he will go back to starting and then we might see an Apare and an Epi a front pairing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a fitness thing, I think. I thought Benny looked decent when he came on again. I thought he actually gave us something that was different.
Yeah.
Gave us a presence up there a bit and looked a little bit dangerous.
I think he's still just weak. I don't think he's strong enough. He gets, again, he gets pushed over an awful lot. We always say about how he falls over and we joke about the fact that, that's all he ever does and, he slips a lot. But he was bullied a lot by the Rochdale defenders when he came on and he was pushed off the ball very easily, I thought. And he wanted free kicks given and the referee wasn't having anything. I'll tell you what, the referee clearly doesn't believe that pushing exists. Because there were a number of times when you saw very blatant pushes and the ref just ignored it. For both teams, don't get me wrong, it wasn't, but you shouldn't be allowed to push a player to gain an advantage. It's, things like that. But anyway, I'm not blaming the referee at all for that performance.
I don't know what the answer is in terms of the front two. It's like, but something has to stick quickly because we've got, like you said, 13 times. Time's running out. Even if you drop into the playoffs and stuff, you need to have some sort of understanding up there. You need to sort it out quickly.
Yes.
I know. Probably coming around to more your idea of Epi as a impact sub. Like, I'd never, for some reason, I don't know why, I just never really liked the idea of Derek Asamoah starting. It's that kind of thing, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, you'd never really see Asamoah as a out and out starter all the time, but when he came on, he used to run players ragged. You're probably onto something there, but yeah, I'd just like to see like a settled team for about, especially the front line, for two or three games and just get some sort of flow going.
Well, I mean, realistically, we need the sort of the spine of the team, don't we? Okay, Horsfall and Guthrie look like they're okay, but I mean, we're missing Sowerby. You know, we've been missing Mwaza for the last couple of games while he was suspended. Good to see him back and going for it again. But yeah, you're right. Up front is the issue. What did you make of what happened at full time with John Brady and a couple of the fans?
I don't mind it, if I'm honest. I don't mind that kind of passion from both sides. I don't know exactly what happened. So I think we don't, unless we know what words were said, then it's hard to kind of properly comment. But I don't mind that from our manager. I don't mind it from our fans going, because I think they seem to end it in a reasonable way. Like, Brady walked off and apologised or whatever. And I think what he said on the radio was probably not the full story. Because it did look like it was getting proper heated, and we know he's a passionate man. We know that he does everything and he works so hard to get it right. And it's not, sometimes it just doesn't happen. And the players didn't perform on Saturday. But he's done he's performed above what we expected, I think it's fair to say. And that's probably where a lot of his frustration comes from, when he does get sort of screamed at from the fans. On the same coin, I do see the frustration from people who travel and pay money and stuff, and it's completely there, up to them to say what they want to say. But I don't really mind it from a Brady point of view, if I'm honest. I'd rather that than somebody just walks out, passively claps and goes back and, you know, says all sorts of, talks in riddles in the post-match
and stuff. I mean, I'd be interested, like you say, I mean, I'd be interested to know who it was.
Was it you, Charles?
If you're listening, it wasn't me, no. But if you're listening, then get in touch and let us know what you actually said and what your thoughts are. Because obviously, you know, you're quite passionate yourself that you know, you wanted to get a point across to either the players or the management. John Brady's listened to you, had a conversation with you. You've both, by the looks of the video, both had a bit of a pop at each other towards the end, albeit that it seemed as though it was fairly amicable in the end. Get in touch. podcast@cobblers2me.com.
Maybe it's the same person who shouted at Jeffy the other week.
Maybe.
Past the pod.
Maybe it was Lee Gray, yeah. I'm a little bit like you, Danny, where I don't mind the passion at all, and I'm quite happy for that. But at the same time, there's definitely a danger of it boiling over. And that's what worries me. Maybe I'm being a bit cautious there, but, you know, I do think to myself, well, what happens if that turns into quite a big argument on the touchline? You know, what happens? Doesn't look good for John Brady or the club. But
it doesn't, but then you're going to get that in the changing room as well, aren't you? Like, if we had a camera in the changing room, you're going to get that kind of throwing of boots and massive arguments about players not going in the right position and people getting, like,
That's private, though, isn't it? Because that's in the change room. If that happens in the change room, there's no cameras there to see it, then we don't know about it. Get to know about it.
No, but I mean, afterwards, at the end of the day, it's cleared, isn't it? Like, it's out the system. I feel like that's
okay. I see what you mean.
It's out each other's system. You move on. The next day you're in training, you get on with it, and you look, move on kind of thing. And I feel like that's the kind of thing that'll happen here.
I do think, and I see the frustration, because it wasn't just about the game against Rochdale. It wasn't just about that performance. I don't want to put words in the person's mouth here, but the way that I felt was that, having watched the game against Scunthorpe, where we were, again, abjectly poor, I didn't think it was that much better against Rochdale.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at least two games in a row where we've not looked very good. personally, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think we look that great against Colchester.
Yeah, we need more from them two games, don't we?
Yeah.
Like, there's just no two ways about it. We've got to get more than a point against Gunthorpe and Rochdale away. I know they're both away, but it's not good. Have you seen how Sutton have brushed aside Scunthorpe basically at the weekend, which is concerning?
I mean, this is it, isn't it? It feels very much like we are just a set-piece team and that's basically it. And while I don't want to say that that's not good enough, it's just boring and it's not entertaining. And it's not fun for us to go and watch a, game where it's basically defend really well and be solid at the back and then, but not really create anything going forward. Because, I mean, literally, the only shot on target that I can remember, slash actually there was probably when Guthrie stepped forward.
Oh, yeah.
And I got really annoyed with that.
He had a moment, didn't he? He had a moment of glory.
I just... it annoyed me that he came forward and it felt to me like he wasted the opportunity.
You mean it as a...
By having the shot.
Oh, he wasted his chance by shooting. Okay.
Yeah.
And he probably thought no one else is shooting, so I'm going to have a go.
Well, yeah, he probably did. Yeah. That was probably exactly it. But
and that's what I'd like to see more of as well. Just have a go. Let's like... Because we seem to just try and walk it in sometimes and try and... Like tip tapping around with that, some like I don't mind if two or three shots go over a wide if someone's having a shot, like just like pin it, get hold of it, and have a shot. Hoskins, even you know, might have one of his random moments where it flies in the top corner, you never know, or get a deflection or something. Just have a go, have a shot. It gets, creates a bit of excitement, doesn't it? We had two shots on target, by the way.
Did we have two?
Both teams had two on target.
Oh, wow, yeah. Brilliant. There was a tweet that I saw by Welsh cobbler Dave Harding. After the game, he'd got home and he basically just tweeted out to say, just home, still angry. What do we work on all week? Just defending and hopeful set pieces? What a joke. How are we second? And I completely understand why he feels like that. Completely and utterly. Because it does feel like that, you know, that's all we work on in training. And... Maybe it was Dave that was having the go at Brady at the end. I don't know. I don't think it was. But, you know, I could understand if the person felt the same way as Welsh Cobbler does, then I don't blame them for having their say. I mean, I refused to clap at the final whistle. I was actually walking out and just going, there's no way I'm clapping that. You know, I've come to the game. I've watched that. I've had to watch that. I'm not going to clap you. Because you were awful.
Yeah.
So I just left, but...
Yeah, you know. It's set against Tuesday night as well, and there's a lot to do with it. If we'd have gone and spanked them on Tuesday night and then lost at the weekend, it might not have felt as bad, but it's not. It's feeling like more than a one-off now, which is concerning.
And I think that's maybe really where my frustration in particular is coming from at the moment.
Yeah, we've got such a chance as well. Like, this is such a big chance to get out of this league because it's so poor that we've got to... try and grab it. It doesn't feel like we want to at the moment. It feels like more like, oh, look at us. We've landed in second and we all go up if it happens.
Yeah.
Rather than, yes, we're in second. Let's go for it now.
You know? Yes.
It feels more like we're there by chance. It's not by chance. We've had a lot of good results, a lot of good performances. Let's not let these last couple of games hide that. And it's been, in terms of Brady's performance, it's been a lot higher than we thought. But the fact that we have done it and the fact that we've seen a lot of these teams once already and seen how bad they are, that's where the frustration lies for me. It's the fact that we know we can, we're capable and the individual players are capable of putting in performances that beat them easily and we're not. And it's just frustrating. And I don't want it to be one of them seasons where we just drop into the playoffs and we just know we're in for the... We're just going to get beaten in them because we're just coming in from the top three just doesn't work. Does it? It doesn't usually end well.
It's not the way that it works, is it? It's the team that wins the playoffs is usually the team that's on the up and has the momentum, isn't it? And
yeah,
that won't be us if that's the way that it goes. Some contracts were extended.
Yes.
In the week.
Tim had the gall to ask McWazza, didn't he, after the game, if his had been extended as well.
I quite enjoyed the awkwardness of that conversation. Could you hear Jamie Aaron Duncan? McGowan in the background going...
Yeah, was it Jamie Duncan who had to jump in as well at some point?
No, I think it was Aaron McGowan.
Yeah, he said something, but then I think someone else said something else off camera.
Oh, really? I mean, I remember Azza just... I heard it and thought it was Azza because of the thick Scouse accent, where he was just saying, just say that we're trying.
Yeah, yeah, he definitely said that. And then I think someone else said it's between Scott and the club. I think it might have been.
Okay.
Jeremy or Gareth, but he didn't really know what to say to that, did he? But.
Well, I mean, the thing is, isn't it, is that essentially Sean probably won't be having anything to do with it.
No, you know, I don't think
it'll be between probably James Whiting and whoever Sean's agent is.
Yeah. He didn't seem to know a lot about anything. No, and I don't think he will be doing yet.
No. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I think we definitely want him to sign, but the issue is going to be is that I'm sure there's going to be people looking at him. There must be suitors out there. And maybe he will feel like, you know, maybe it's time to move away and start afresh. I don't want him to do that, but you never know. And, you know, he's still quite a young player and he's still got a lot of his career ahead of him.
Yeah, there's a lot to do with which league we're going to be in as well.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that will be the other thing, won't it? I think it's interesting how we announced Ali Koiki and Jack Sowerby's contracts had been extended. And that it was by saying that we'd, as a club, opted to trigger the clauses in their contract to provide an extra year. There's a part of me that, and I don't get me wrong, I know this is so cynical, but there's a part of me that goes, basically, we've had a conversation. They didn't sound like they wanted to. But we've said tough.
Yeah, that's essentially what's happened. Yeah, they've tied him up, literally and figuratively. Like, you're staying.
Put him in the basement. Get him in the basement. Leave him there. In other news, Scott Pollock has moved on loan to Boston.
Yes. Long way to go, isn't it?
Long way to go. Mm. And had an immediate impact. Yeah. In their game against Kettering.
I mean, to come off the plane like that and put in a performance is amazing. Pretty incredible. Yeah.
Amazing.
Bit of a ding-dong, wasn't it?
Bit of a ding-dong. Four red cards. Went to coaches, Kettering coaches. The big buses, they weren't allowed in.
Big buses.
I'm guessing here that, was it Paul Cox, the Kettering manager? I think he left to go and join Boston.
Okay, right.
And because they kept making mention of there being inflatable snakes in the away end.
Oh.
So I presume that the game was heated a little bit by that. But yeah, after the match, I mean, I was listening to Radio Northampton on the drive home. And I can't remember who it is that does the match reports for Kettering, but they were just saying, in their interview with Ian Culverhouse, the new Kettering manager, was saying, now, normally I wouldn't say anything like this, but that referee wasn't very good, was it? And Ian Culverhouse was just like, no, he wasn't. Oh, dear. So, yeah, apparently, Scott Pollock did score. He opened the scoring. And then he was involved in one of Kettering's red cards.
Okay.
I think he was fouled or attacked or something.
Tim Oglethorpe goes absolutely apoplectic whenever an ex-Cobblers player scores in another game. You could tell it was coming when he read out Scott Pollock's goal. Like, no matter what league they've gone to, it's always like, oh, there we go again.
I mean, the thing, do you find it a little bit annoying that this happens? I mean, he's not the first young cobbler that has gone either out on loan or left the club permanently and literally to have then started fantastically for their new team, albeit a team that is at least one, if not two divisions lower.
Not when it's that lower division, no, it doesn't bother me at all. Like the Itchifano thing didn't. No matter how many goals he scored, it didn't bother me one bit because Matt Warburton scored about 40 goals, didn't he, in that league.
Mm-hmm. But he wasn't one of our own, Danny.
He wasn't. But he doesn't. No, it's such a different standard. It's got to be. And I know we get FA Cup upsets and all that kind of thing, but it is. It's not the same. You can use all the arguments you want about bringing him in and doing, but I don't see it.
Fair enough.
He can score for Boston. That's fine. Get him a bit of confidence. Get him game time. Come back and try again for us. That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't see any problem with it. With what Brady said either the other night, I think it's fine.
Good. Okay. Right. Let's go to the post bag.
Go on.
It's time to read your letters out, but things have changed, so listen out. If you want to write about Northampton Town, you'll need to write this next bit down. Just have a rant or just some fun at podcast@cobblerstome.com. No matter if we lose or win, send us your thoughts. Come on, get them in.
Get them in.
Get them in indeed.
All in.
We've had, Danny, I'm sure you'll be pleased to know, an emotional update from Jonathan Hillier.
Yes, good. We need this.
His update is dated the 27th of February, so that's Sunday. Okay. He says, embarrassment for the players, the fans and the manager. But in the context of the world today, our footballing issues are insignificant.
Huh. Yeah, well, it's fairly true, I think.
I think so too.
But insignificant, I think, is slightly too much because it is significant in terms of keeping our eyes and ears somewhere else for a little bit, which I think is helpful. But other than that.
I certainly agree with you there. We've also got one here from Malcolm Butler, who says... hey, gang, we're in it. No, we're not.
We're in it to win it, Charles.
We're in it to win it. Were it not for the events of the last few days, I would never thought of sharing this story. But the tragic unfolding of events in Ukraine have jogged the old memory banks. In the mid-1980s, my parents were granted permission to visit the Soviet Union. Gorbachev had just come to power and the USSR was beginning to open up. They had made contact with a Ukrainian family through a mutual friend, a lecturer at Kiel University, I think, and had managed to obtain visas. Knowing that the couple who my parents visited had a young son who was a football fan, I sent my parents off with a cobbler's top and scarf, as well as an England shirt, as a gift. 2 weeks later, when my parents returned, I was presented with a Dynamo Kiev banner, which I dug out of the loft yesterday. The power of football to do good shouldn't be lost on us, especially at times like this. All the best, Malcolm Butler.
That's brilliant. I love that.
It's a great story. And he sent us a picture of the Dynamo banner.
Mm.
It just looks great. I mean, so typically 80s of it as well, because it's essentially a bedsheet with a club badge on it. It's brilliant. Yeah. I love it.
I love that kind of story. That's so good.
Brilliant.
Football just
stuff.
Breaks everything, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. Danny, I understand you've got our next one.
Yeah, it says Dear Danny on here. Was that the original writing? Or have you changed it from Dear Neil?
Not saying anything.
Mike Fuller has been in touch saying, have you heard the exciting news? Masters football is back.
Oh, yes.
And being shown on Amazon.
Oh.
With this in mind, who makes the Cobblers Masters team and should we pressure the club to enter the team? Has to be someone that could actually play, no one that is either too old or passed away. I want to make this happen. Firstly, the Masters is incredible. We've got to get, if even if we don't have a Cobblers team, I am all on board for the Masters. I used to love that. Younger listeners, probably like Jeffy, actually.
Yeah, thinking about it.
The Masters was a six-a-side, I want to say.
I think so, yeah.
Six-a-side competition, mainly sort of from teams from the top two divisions at the time, I'd say, some from Scotland. And they did like regional heats, didn't they, of six-a-side competitions?
Yes.
In one day. So you'd get a whole day of sort of six-a-side games between legends from each team. So you get Man United legends like Who would be playing it, like Paul Parker or something, again, going up against Liverpool legends like Ronnie Rosenthal.
I'm not sure that. I seem to remember Jason McAteer, and Liverpool probably also had Razor Ruddock in their side as well.
Yes, he definitely, yeah. Julian Dix would have been in there for West Ham.
Yes, exactly, those kind of things. I always remember thinking and really going, because there were always former Cobblers players, but playing for other teams.
Yes.
And I always used to think, well, there are all these players that did play for us out there playing Masters football. Why don't we have a side?
Yeah.
And it always used to be like, I always used to be quite disappointed that we didn't have one.
I always used that. That was my, when it was like 98 and we were in the playoff final, one of my main motivations for wanting us to get into the Division One at that point, the championship now, was that we could potentially have a Masters team.
was that the reason, though? Was it because we weren't high enough?
I think so, yeah, because you didn't see anything like Rochdale or Colchester, did you, or anyone like that? It was mainly like the...
No, but I'm sure that there was the odd team that was a lower down.
No, I don't think you get any like League One, League Two teams now, from what I remember.
Okay, fair enough.
You'd probably get now, you might get someone like Sunderland just because they used to be decent kind of thing. Portsmouth and all that kind of stuff. But we know.
In essence, if you were taking teams, because it's a master tournament, the rule is that they have to be retired and over 35.
Yeah.
I suppose if you, therefore, you're going back to say, the last 20 years, aren't you? So yeah. Sunderland were in the Premier League within the last 20 years. So you could imagine
Kevin Phillips,
Phillips and Niall Quinn.
Yes,
up front
get
together.
Him up there.
Get in there.
Mickey Gray at the back.
Oh, be amazing. I mean,
I'm so in for this. I think we should do It's All Masters to Me, Charles. I mean, if this is our Euros this year, we've got to do this.
Could you imagine? That'd be amazing. Do you have a team, Danny?
Yes, yeah. I'm going to change it slightly because I've only just heard about this retirement.
Okay, thing. Okay.
I did have Bayo up front, but he's technically not retired yet.
Yeah, true.
He's definitely not retired yet. Mm-hmm. I went for Mark Bunn in goal.
Yes.
The fairly strong pair of hands. Samo, but that's got to be at the back. This Sean Dyche, it's got to be there. Oh. Two defenders, Samo and Dyche. So you've got a mix of characters, but the headers are going to be one and no one's getting past.
Yeah, okay, fair
enough. I've gone for a maverick pairing in midfield of Ricky Holmes and Martin Smith. I'm not sure where I'm expecting Dyche to step up a bit into midfield as well and just provide a bit of muscle in there. Mm-hmm. Give the ball to Holmes and Smudger. And I'm going to change Bayo to Rico, I think, because Rico is still in tip-top shape, as we know, Charles.
Absolutely. Well, I saw him on Saturday after the game. I don't know where he'd gone, but I was driving around I was at least half a mile away from the stadium at this point, and there was Rico. I'll be honest, he looked like he might have been walking back from the cemetery pub, because he was walking down the road from there where the pub was. And I did. I opened the window down and went, "Have you lost the bus, Rico?" And he just sort of looked at me. I mean, he looked at me and waved and he said hello. But I mean, it was just, then I got up to the corner and went, "Oh, there's the pub. Maybe that's where he's been. Maybe he thought the game was that bad." He left and went to smoke for a pint.
Yeah. Him and Buchanan were in there.
Oh, brilliant.
Putting the world to rights.
I've gone for it. My team is very similar to yours. I was going to think, shall I try and rework it on the fly here just to make it slightly different?
Dickie Hope's
in there,
right?
For the sake of it.
Can I have a bit of Dickie Hope?
A little bit of Dickie Hope. I was thinking maybe Chris Wilmot.
Chris Wilmot?
Yeah, why not? no, I mean, my original team was basically the same as yours. But I am going to change it slightly. So I'm going to go with Chris Dunn in goal. Reason being that he's a little bit younger than Bunny. That's it.
Also a little bit shitter than Bunny.
Well, yes. But hey, it's Masters football.
It's not.
It was either that or find Keith Welch. And I'm worried that that would take longer than getting Chris Dunn in goal.
Keith Welch is absolutely somewhere in a hut somewhere in the woods.
Off the grid.
Completely off the grid, yeah.
He is Ron Swanson.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Absolutely.
You don't want Chris Dunn in goal, Charles, when someone like Gianfranco Zola's bearing down on you, do you? Come on.
Oh, I don't know. I always thought that Dunny was a fairly decent shot stopper.
Okay.
I think it was more...
That's true, actually. You've got to think about the type of shot you're going to be facing.
I mean, it's a bit like actually saying, was Billy Turley okay at shot stopping? He was definitely not very good at claiming crosses.
He was not very good at anything.
No, you're quite right. So I've gone with Chris Dunn in goal simply because you've taken Mark Bunn.
Okay.
And that Dunny's a little bit younger. I've then gone for a back two of Xander Diamond with Jason Crowe.
Ooh.
Now, I've gone with, essentially, what I've done is I've gone with Xander, who can head everything in sight, and then Crowe, who's got a little bit of pace, a little bit more than Xander will, at least. So he'll be able to do the mopping up.
Mop it.
Yes. Now, I then went for... So originally, I went for Ricky Holmes. And I went, actually, at first, for Nicky Adams. But obviously, Nicky is not retired yet.
He's not, no.
So I then changed it to Martin Smith. But you've taken Smudger, which is disappointing. So I'm going to go for, in the midfield, I'm going to have Jason Taylor. Rough it up a bit.
He's not retired.
Oh, he's not retired. No, you're right. Mm. Sorry, I apologize. I'll go for Joel Byram.
No, is
Joel Byram retired? He's not playing in the EFL anymore, is he? Does that count?
That doesn't mean he's not retired. He's playing for Clitheroe.
Oh, he's not retired. Joel, what a letdown. Who else could I have in midfield then? I'm starting to panic. Ryan Gilligan.
Eric. I should realise I've left Eric out.
Have you left Eric out? That's it then. Right. Up front. No, in fact, I'll have Eric up front.
Eric Sabin.
There you go. Eric Sabin's up front. And behind him is going to be... who shall I have?
Don't need anyone else. If you've got Eric,
is that it? I've got Eric. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. All right, then. I'm going to keep Ricky Holmes in there. And then as a midfield, I'm going to find James Hunt.
Oh.
There you
go. Someone suggested Ian Taylor, which I think is a great shout as well. I can't remember who that was. Was it Melly? Melly put about eight players in his team on that Slack.
He did, to be fair, didn't he? He absolutely did.
Yeah, Ian Taylor is a brilliant shout.
Yeah, I mean, I will say he'll definitely play for Villa over us. That's the only issue with that. One of the things that I actually kept trying to think of. And because originally I didn't put Smudger in, because I instantly went, well, he'll play for Sunderland. That was my... So I sort of went with this thinking of going, right, not only do we need them to fit the criteria of being retired and over 35 and obviously having played for us, but at the same time, we need to try and pick players that would likely want to play for us rather than another team. And Smudger would definitely go for... If Sunderland came asking, he wouldn't turn it down, would he? So
I want to see a deadline day for this. I want to see teams being formed. I want to see a special deadline day where all the players get revealed and drafts get done and stuff. I'm all in on this.
That would be amazing. I like that. I think that would be really good. But yeah, it was a great conversation that we had with this on our Slack channel, which is a forum where we have all our Patreon fan club on Patreon members. So if you want to join them, you can do. Just go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. Everybody that is a Patreon supporter gets access to the forum, which is great. Very alive on match days as well, which is brilliant. But we have lots of really good chats in there, like this, the Masters six aside. I mean, Mike Fuller's, I was really happy with this one. So Mike Fuller went for Keith Welch, a back two of Ian Sampson and Ray Warburton. He had Roy Hunter and Sean Parrish in midfield. Behind, he's here, he's there, he's everywhere. Yeah. Scott McLeish.
That is a good Masters player, that.
Brilliant, brilliant six players there, six-a-side team. Fabulous.
I'm just watching
stuff.
The best of Masters goals.
No. Oh, Danny. Danny, calm yourself. if you want to get in touch with us, you can send your emails to podcast@cobblerstome.com, or you can find us on Twitter. Just search for @cobblerstome. There's not really much else to tell you. The women weren't playing this weekend. Their game was called off. So we haven't got an update with regards to Abby and the rest of the girls. The only real update that I've potentially got, Danny, is that we've had a little bit of an update on the website.
Oh.
And what we're going to try and do, and I'm not going to lie, I've been inspired by Neil, who thought that that could ever happen. So recently, and I'm sure regular listeners to the podcast will know that as well as being a Cobblers fan and a devoted Cobblers fan, Neil is also a fan of the NFL. That's the American version of rugby. And he's not here, I can say it. And he's, in particular, he's a San Francisco 49ers fan. And he's recently started a new blog site, which is called UK49ers.com. So that's UK, the number 4, the number 9, ERS.com.
Yes, make sure you get that right, kids, when you say that. Yeah,
definitely make sure you get that right. So go and have a look. He's basically just writing articles about the 49ers, about the team that he supports. Do go and check it out. But he's inspired me, Danny, to basically pick up my keyboard and snipe and start bashing away at the keyboard.
Neil often inspires that kind of thing in people.
He does indeed. So we're going to start having a bit more written content on cobblerstome.com. And I've already started this off, Danny. There's a lovely
It's a Keith Curlout blog.
It's not a Keith Curlout blog. I couldn't find it. you must have burnt it. No, it's the first one is a piece on basically on the stuff that came out about Scott Pollock last week, what John Brady had said, and a little bit on, you know, how we like to obviously see one of our own turn into a regular player in the first team, a bit like how Sean McWilliams has done. So there's a post there, and we're going to be doing, I'm going to try and get one out every single week. But along with that, we would like to open up the opportunity to any of you guys. So if you're a budding writer or you just fancy having a bit of a go at writing about your favourite football club, then please do. Just drop us an email with your article. It can be about absolutely anything, from who your favorite player is or your favorite game, any Cobblers news that's currently doing the rounds. You can do a match analysis of a recent game, or you can even go out there and analyze the whole team and use loads of funky stats that isn't the normal thing that we have for you. If you would like to do that, then you can just email podcast@cobblerstome.com with around about 400 words or so for your article. And we'll publish your content and add you to our roster of writers. And of course, any published work will get full credit on the site. So you can go and have a go. So if you'd like to do that, then please feel free. We'd love to showcase your work. Please do check out the rest of the website. Had a little bit of a change around. There's more changes to come as well. But there's loads of content on there. You can listen to every single episode of the podcast, including all of our former Cobblers player interviews. And you'll also find the series I did a couple of years ago now called Memory Lane, where I spoke to some Northampton Town fans about their favourite moments from their following of Northampton Town Football Club. Danny, any other business?
No, I thought your blog was very good, though.
Oh, thank you.
I've got it's no other business to share. Apart from next weekend, we'll all be there. So come and find us. We'll get to Tranmere. We'll talk about that on the preview show.
Yes.
The preview show as well. That was good.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yes.
Enjoyed Neil's appearance as well.
Yeah, I missed you. I won't deny it. I did miss you. But I enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank you so much.
Were you thinking of me the
Charlotte.
Whole time, Charles?
I wasn't thinking of you, no. I was too busy enjoying the company of Neil and Charlotte from Rochdale, which was great. So, thank you again for Charlotte for coming on. We'll be back with the preview show with a Tranmere fan because this weekend's game is, of course, the 125th anniversary game against Tranmere Rovers.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday indeed.
Are you going in your birthday suit?
No.
Are you bringing that thing you sometimes that thing you sometimes blow? But that's you know, your little peeper. You know, you probably got it under the table there, have you?
Pardon?
You've got a little party thing. What are they called?
My party blower.
Party blower, yeah.
My party blower.
It's there. You can bring it along. When the teams, yeah, there we go. When the teams come out.
My blow tickler.
What it's called?
A blow tickler.
A blow tickler.
Okay. Indeed. There you go. If you want more blow tickler action, go and listen to the Slimmy World podcast. There you go. I'm shouting out clients now. What am I doing? Right. That's it for this week's It's All Cobblers to Me. Thank you very much for listening and for supporting us, which you can do more of, as I said before, patreon.com/cobblers to me. Danny, thank you so much for your time for the last hour.
Thank you, Charles. Oh,
you're very welcome. If you'd like to hear more of me and Danny, you can pop into the Patreon and you'll be able to listen to us talking about all the other games in League 2 that happened this week in our regular weekly podcast series, The Basement Tales. If you're in there, we'll see you in there. Goodbye.
Bye.
Way! There's the cup! There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on, because we deserve it.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.